Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, a ceasefire between Israel and the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah is holding after both sides accepted an agreement brokered by the US and France in a rare victory for diplomacy in the Middle East, racked by two wars over a year. Cars and vans piled high with mattresses, suitcases and even furniture have been streaming through the southern port city of Tyre, which was heavily bombed in the final days before the ceasefire. Other cars and motorbikes flew national flags, beat their horns and people showed the victory sign with their fingers as they returned to homes that they had fled in recent months. Well, just before we came on air, I spoke to UNICEF's deputy representative in Lebanon, Etty Higgins, who is in Beirut, and I began by asking her, what is the mood like in Lebanon today?
So the mood in Lebanon and the overall atmosphere is one of what I can say is really palpable relief following the declaration of ceasefire at 4 a.m. last night. Local time. We, prior to that, up until about 10 to 4, we were still under significantly heavy bombardment in Beirut and other parts of the country. We saw dozens and dozens of buildings targeted yesterday, some that had been issued evacuation orders beforehand and some that had no notice at all. So we saw thousands of people fleeing onto the streets again last night, and it was very, very cold here. So we were distributing blankets and emergency relief supplies. At 4 a.m., the situation became much more quiet, and people immediately got in their cars in Beirut, those who had been displaced, some of the 1.2 million people that had been displaced since the escalation of the conflict and the war in September, and they packed up their belongings, and many headed to the south and to other areas of the country that they had previously fled from.
Okay.
And this is despite requests to move more slowly to see how the situation panned out during the day, but we have seen that sustained population movement back to their areas and their homes.
So people desperate to get home, obviously, and to get back to their houses. Although the question then arises, what might be there when they get there?
Exactly. And 10 days ago, there was a World Bank report that was issued that reporting that over 100,000 homes have been completely destroyed. And we know that at least 37 villages in the south of the country have also been destroyed. So there will be a huge amount of reconstruction required if the ceasefire does in fact hold, because history tells us in Lebanon that ceasefires are very, very fragile. So it will require real sustained support from the international community to support Lebanon at this really, really critical juncture. And it's vital so that we can get children back in school, for example. We can get the water systems back up and running. We've had at least 35 water stations totally destroyed, cutting off water for 500,000 people. So it's going to need a significant amount of international support to help Lebanon to recover from this massively destructive war.
And what impact has the war had on the people that you're dealing with on the ground in Lebanon?
Well, the population are really totally traumatised. They have seen their large-scale destruction of their villages and their towns. They've seen their olive trees burned, their livelihoods destroyed. Many of them have been forced to live in really terrible shelter situations over the last few months. We've had to turn at least 700 of public schools in Lebanon have now been converted into shelters. And we had many children as well who have lost all of their family members in the bombardment. In some cases, they've lost siblings, they've lost parents, they've lost limbs and have been severely injured. So we do have a caseload now of children that are going to require long-term support. But aside from that, you have over 2 million children whose education has been interrupted. So it's very important that we bring some sense of normality back for children's lives after this very traumatic year that they've had, and 6 months in many cases without any schooling since they broke up for the summer holidays. We haven't been able to restart the education again at the scale that it should have been started for so many, over 1.2 million children altogether.
And can I ask you finally, Etty, then, given the scale of the destruction, if the ceasefire does last, and I know you've outlined your apprehensions about that, but if it does last, how long will it take to get back to where people were so they can start getting back to ordinary life, I suppose?
Assuming that the country gets the support that it needs, it will still take years to rebuild what has been destroyed over the past 1 year. And it's a psychological impact as well that people, especially children, will carry with them for many years to come. And some more than others, especially those who have lived through, very traumatic experiences of this displacement and losing their homes and family members and siblings and friends. So it will take years to recover from what we've seen, including, for example, for the health system, where we've seen 40 hospitals that have been badly damaged or destroyed and 100 health centres and clinics as well. So the health sector, the water sector, the education system, they all require rebuilding to ensure that protective environment for all children in Lebanon.
Well, Etty, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That is Etty Higgins, UNICEF's Deputy Representative in Lebanon, joining us this evening.
Thank you.